Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 83 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I get a chance to talk to Jeffrey Hobbs from the Slow Bone in Dallas, Texas. I've wanted to talk to him for a long time because almost everyone that I talk to about barbecue in Dallas, barbecue chefs, owners, different people in the barbecue industry or people that just love food say, you have to try the Slow Bone. It's definitely a must visit location. They're open 11 to 3 daily, and that we get into Jeffrey's history. He has and then how he came on board with the Slow Bone and his journey to really learning how to cook well. We talk about their meats, and they're putting out incredible barbecue, but not only that, and I've heard this, and we talk about this in depth, their sides are incredible. Their hot sides, a lot of people don't even make it to their cold sides because they get so many of the hot sides. And desserts are phenomenal, and the sides themselves are very creative. It's not just they're not just putting on a side just to have a side dish. And so people do actually come in and have an entire meal just made up of sides. And their fried chicken, is supposed to be just spectacular, and it's been rated one of the best fried chicken in all of Dallas. It's a great interview. He's so interesting, and one word that keeps coming up, which I think is important, is the word delicious. He keeps talking about how he wants to make the food delicious, or this is delicious, or we did this and it became delicious. And I think that's great to hear from someone, because that's the whole point, isn't it? Is to have delicious food and go somewhere where the food's delicious and you leave happy. So Jeffrey, thank you so much for taking the time. If you're liking these, please subscribe. I know that on a lot of the different podcast networks, you only get about 20 of these if you don't subscribe. So please subscribe. That way you can hear all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints with YouTube versions of these, plus a bunch of other YouTube content, barbecue tours, butcher shop tours, lots of cool stuff. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with a lot more content as well, but enjoy this. Well, good morning, Jeffrey. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. It's been a long time coming to get us together, but I'm excited we finally got a chance.
Yeah, for sure.
So what does a usual day look like for you? I kind of want to go back and like go your history, then also the restaurant's history, and then kind of what you guys are doing now.
I mean, I got a long history in the restaurant business. We can like,
yeah, like brush over it. Kind of
the majority, like the last 4 years have been the barbecue, but yeah. Most of it was spent in fine dining.
Okay.
Started off in like mom and pop organizations. It's all around a restaurant teeth cut in a place called Celebration on Lover's Lane here in Dallas. You know, I worked in the kitchen, managed the kitchen, waited tables, did some front of the house management. It was a great place to be. I was there for like 6-7 years. And then from there I got into fine dining and worked my way around there, which was a lot of fun. It was amazing. And then I knew that at some point I wanted to have my own place. That's what most people getting into the business really focus on, I guess, especially chefs. They always have this idea of that they want to have their own restaurant. Mm-hmm. It took me some time, and I never would have guessed it would have been barbecue, but that's how it presented itself.
Were you barbecuing as a kid? Did you grow up in Texas?
No, I didn't grow up in Texas. I grew up in central Indiana. Oh, okay. So brisket was not we roasted whole hog there as well. At least the circles I was growing up in.
Oh, that's nice. That's crazy.
So yeah, brisket was not part of my repertoire until most recently, and just got to jump into the fire, so to speak, of learning how to smoke a brisket. And growing up in the business, the side of the business I did, you know, I had a great understanding, and I was always curious about how and why things worked. So I had a good understanding of what needed to happen to a brisket to get it tender. And just over the years, we'd kind of developing our own style of how we smoke has been awesome. So it's been a great learning curve and a really fun part, you know, of learning how to do something a little bit different.
A quick aside, is that something that I've never asked anybody this? Is that something that you're, do you feel like you're still learning? Like, is that something?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm always, I've always, that's how I was brought up too. It's like, you will never know everything.
Yeah.
I always feel like I have a better understanding but there's always something that I happen and it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. That's what makes it interesting to me. I'll never get tired of it.
And yeah, that's what's kind of odd when someone just does the same thing for 45 years. It's amazing that you would think like, well, that not even any new techniques or.
Right. We're just always tinkering. I mean, you know, the recipes at Slow Bone have not, like we still serve the same exact sides that we did when I started there. It's been open for a little over 5 years. I came on just like a year and a month after they had originally opened. So the recipes, the sides themselves haven't changed, but how we execute the recipes has. Maybe we've added a few ingredients or subtracted or done some things differently. Just how we prepare to, you know, make the mac and cheese cheesier and creamier. Where it's basically the same exact, you know, it's the same how it started, but it has, you know, modified into something a little bit different to give a better product.
Which makes sense.
Eats better. You know, it's delicious. It's more delicious than yeah, it started. And this is, we do this, we take the same approach with our smoked meats. You know, we've kind of gone back to the basics with our pork ribs, you know, where originally there was a slather along with a heavy rub, that sat on overnight. And now, we removed all of that and we do mainly salt and pepper with a little bit of sugar. And then we spritz the ribs as they're smoking, but it's, so it's a lot more simple, but in the end, it gives us a better product.
That's interesting. That makes sense.
There's just, you know, sometimes some of the things have been a little bit, bigger changes, but, what's always the end goal is to make something more delicious, whether that, you know, whether it's not just how it tastes, but if it's crunchier or if it's more tender or if there's better, you know, textural contrasts. I mean, all these things go into every single item that we prepare at the Slow Bone.
So when you started working a year and a month into their to the beginning of Slow Bone, were you like, did you come on as like a chef pitmaster or like as a chef or how did you?
I came on basically as the chef. You know, we had a pit boss at the time that spent, you know, he spent 6 days a week on the pits. We're open seven. So the pits are all, Miss Jessie's always smoking. And we mean that in more ways than one. So she's fantastic, but she requires a lot of attention. So we had one guy that did it 6 days a week and I was kind of learning on the job. Jack Perkins, who was the original owner, would take over on Sundays when Yvonne had his day off. And then I slowly eventually took over on that one day. And I did that for about 2.5 years and still didn't feel like I had any grasp whatsoever.
Isn't that amazing? On. After two, people wouldn't understand that after 2.5 years, a lot of people wouldn't get the fact that it's not easy.
Oh yeah, no, it's not. And it really didn't start to, fully, come into, you know, what's what I'm looking for. I had a really good grasp of what was happening when Yvonne left us. And so I basically worked the pits for 6 weeks straight, you know, day in and day out, you know, trimming the briskets and the ribs and just seeing them from start to finish. And I mean, start like coming out of the box and then coming out of the smoker and then eventually coming out of, you know, onto the cutting boards where we sliced it. You know, there was huge changes. And so that's really when I finally felt comfortable and I could say, it's like, okay, I got a good grasp of this now and let's push forward and make some changes. And, you know, 2.5 years later, I feel a lot better about where we're at, but not fully satisfied. And it's like, hey, we continue to get better at what we do.
And that's during that transition, do customers say like, well, there's something that seems a little different, or is it just something that
I think it's just slow. It's kind of an analogy of putting a frog into a pot of cold water and turning the heat on. They don't realize it's going on until, you know, the ribs was actually the biggest change. People did make a lot of comments on the ribs when we did make that change. And it wasn't, hey, what happened to the rub? We missed that. It's like, oh my gosh, what'd you guys do? The ribs, these are so good.
That's cool. That's the best. That's the reaction
right.
You want.
No, sometimes when we make changes, I expect, like we changed the buns a few years ago on our most of our sandwiches. And so many people, but I didn't say so many, we had a lot of people complain, say, I'm never coming back, which is fine. But, you know, ever, since then, we've actually grown the business 30%. So I don't think changing the bun really affected us too negatively. But
I never heard a negative comment about the buns for you.
Right. Sometimes you have to weather the storm and there's going to be some negativity. But for the most part, when we do make changes and we decide to stick with them, I feel pretty good about the decision. So,
and you said you're open 7 days a week. It's 11 to 3, right?
That's 11 to 3. Yeah, lunch only. We close December 25th and the 26th. We actually open up for Thanksgiving too. We call it Free Bird. We give the meals away.
Oh, that's nice.
We're there every day. In fact, some of our best days are the days when people don't have to go to work, like on snow days. Those are always a lot of fun, you know, freshly covered ground with some white snow and people coming in to enjoy some barbecue and not, you know, they don't have to feel like they have to get rushed back to work. So
yeah, that's a perfect day.
Those are the best days, right? Yeah.
And so what meats, like at the beginning, have the meats changed? Are you still the same? What meats do you guys offer?
I mean, pretty much straightforward. We have brisket. We have pork ribs. It's a St. Louis cut from the spare rib. We do boneless turkey breast. We have bone-in smoked chicken. We also do a bone-in fried chicken.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, no, the fried chicken is amazing. We started off doing the fried just testing a recipe. We were going to open up a fried chicken restaurant, which is still a plan, but once we started testing it, we couldn't stop serving it. People were clamoring for it. So since then, it's three separate publications have named it the best fried chicken in Dallas, Critics' Choice, which is nice. But outside of those, we do have a couple different sausages, and then we do daily specials. Like on Fridays and Saturdays, we'll do beef ribs. Mondays now we've been doing pork chops, and sometimes if I order too many, I'll go ahead and do it Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And then Wednesday we do chicken fingers.
Like your version of chicken fingers.
Yeah, our version of chicken fingers.
that's all. And it's, you know, what's funny is I think that for the photos I've seen of your chicken, I think it's some of the most beautiful chicken that I've ever seen plated in Texas. It's
awesome.
Yeah, it looks, I've heard people, like, it's, you don't often hear people say go to a barbecue joint for their chicken necessarily, unless it's maybe a different part of the country.
Right. Yeah.
And then you guys do two different sausages, right?
Yeah, we have a plain. It's a black pepper hickory smoked sausage, and we also do a jalapeno cheddar, which is our more popular one.
And you did a cilantro before, right, or something with it?
We did a cilantro, yeah. And unfortunately, in the business world, sometimes companies change hands, and we had that recipe that was being made for us by another company, and just it wasn't consistent enough for us, so we had to change.
Seems like Dallas has its ebbs and flows barbecue wise, and it seems like right now there's like a great, like, it seems like it's almost like a renaissance for Dallas barbecue too.
Oh, for sure, most definitely. We set ourselves apart with our sides. You know, we there's obviously a huge focus on the smoked meats, but you know, we take pride in the number of sides that we serve, and also the deliciousness of them.
What sides are those?
Yeah, and most people don't make it. We have some great cold sides, but most people don't make it past the slew of hot sides we have that sit right in front of them right after the meats. But we do every day. We do collard and mustard greens. We do the brisket pinto bean. We do roasted squash, mac and cheese. We have a sweet potato praline. We call a Brussels flour, which is a roasted Brussels sprouts and cauliflower au gratin, which is delicious. And then we take that mac and cheese, and we have a brisket chili that's also available as a side, or you can make a Frito pie out of it as well. We mix that with our mac and cheese and have chili mac, squash casserole, tater tots, French fries, and then we'll have a couple of hot sides we'll throw in there as rotation specials. And those are just, okay, let's do this or that. And there's no standard ones for those. And then the cold sides, we do a horseradish cream potato salad, a mustard coleslaw, and then a pea, like a grandma's pea salad, and just a simple tomato cucumber salad as well.
Oh. Like you could just dine on the sides. That could be
Oh,
like.
yeah. No, we had people come in all the time. In fact, the first time my mom came through, that's she didn't get any meat. She just got a bunch of
Yeah,
sides.
no, I could see that. Like I could see someone coming with like maybe a date that's not a meat eater and just go crazy on the sides. Oh,
Yeah.
that's spectacular. Do you guys, what desserts do you guys do?
Oh, we have our staple, the cornbread pudding, which we take a leftover cornbread and make a bread pudding out of it. And then we'll take our cornbread pudding and make what we call cornbread pudding surprise, but it's not so much of a surprise because we'll have the fruit on top of it. And so like right now we do apple, like a caramel apple filling for it. It's delicious. And then we'll also make cobblers. And then every once in a while, I'll get a wild hare and we'll do like s'mores and we do stuff with like rhubarb and strawberries when they're in season. So we'll throw some fresh items out there too. But the cornbread pudding, people always like, And then
That is kind of unique.
I'll give one away, especially if someone looks like they're a big skeptic. And then what ends up happening is they'll buy five or six on their way out. Yeah, it's kind of one of those sleeper hits that people don't like. Not many people get our smoked chicken, or maybe they never had the fried chicken or the turkey breast, and they'll get it one time. So I've been coming here for a year and a half, and I never tried this. How come? I was like, oh, because you never tried it.
And they need to. Yeah, well, it's a lot of people just lay on brisket, ribs, sausage. It just kind of sounds, those are staples. But it sounds like, and I'm definitely going to recommend people go off kind of off the regular menu for that, for you guys, because they should. They really should.
But we do get quite a few more people now come in, and that's what they want to do. They'll come in with like two or three people, and they just want to order a tray instead of just getting the platter with the, for themselves. And we encourage that. We call it family style. And it's very traditional at a lot of other barbecue places. What we had established for in the beginning at Slow Bone was mainly, just order for yourself, get a plate and some sides and sit down. And so, which is still great. But it's a lot of fun to, especially with when you're with friends and people you like, and you're sharing an experience of just sitting down and grabbing what you want and just passing it around. It's a lot of fun like that too.
Yeah, no, yeah, you get a chance to try everything. That's a great tip with people in general when they go to barbecue joints is come with one or two people, because a lot of times I'm traveling by myself and I have so much food and then I try to eat it all and I can't do a Daniel Vaughn 7 barbecue run.
Right. Yeah. No. I don't know how he does it. It's amazing.
I think it's pacing. It's yeah, no.
Yes, he's good at pacing himself. But every once in a while, you come across something, it's like you just have to eat all of it, and
You
you
have no
don't
choice.
realize you ate all of it till it's gone. It's like, oh my gosh, what happened to that?
And then hopefully the next place is long enough that you can kind of digest a little bit
Exactly.
there.
Right. Make some room.
And so where in Dallas are you located? Because people who are listening to this that aren't from Texas or aren't from that the region, what would how far off are you from, like, say you flew into
We're
the
about
airport?
6 or 7 minutes northwest of downtown, just straight up the Trinity River. We're right down the street from the Hilton Anatole. We're on Irving Boulevard, and where Wycliffe turns into Sylvan at the new Sylvan Avenue Bridge.
So if you were come say you were coming say you were staying in Austin and you wanted to you're making a trip up to Dallas, how long is it to how far is it to Dallas again? I'm trying to remember.
Well, about three
About 3
hours.
hours.
Yeah, 3 hours and 15 minutes if you're driving safely.
So if someone left at 7, could they get to you guys by 11?
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
It's not Los Angeles where it's going to take you 7 hours
No,
to.
yeah. By the time you get close to Dallas, the morning traffic will have dived down, so you'll be fine.
And are you selling out general? Are you selling out by 3, or like is it by
We'll
2,
run
or?
out of items. We'll run out of items. Like typically, our ribs are the ones that are the most hard. They're the hardest to repurpose. But what we've started doing is we always try to flirt with, and like yesterday, we actually ran out of most of our meats by 2:30. But typically, close to 3 o'clock, I'll have brisket and sausage and smoked chicken left. And a lot of the if we have and we do have stuff that we are not able to reuse, like for our chili. Sometimes we'll make tamales. We'll do other things with leftover meats. We'll take it and donate it to a couple of local shelters as well.
Oh, that's great.
Which ends up, I can write off a lot of that for tax purposes. So ends up help, it keeps us with meats all the way through to the end, and plus I can help out some of the community shelters as well, which is awesome. I don't even have to buzz the button anymore. They just open the gate when they see my car coming because they know it's me.
That's awesome. Now, are people, is there usually a line Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or is it?
Yeah, we'll have lines during the week because everybody's on the same, you know, lunch schedule. On the
True.
weekends, it just really depends on the number of conventions that are in town or things that are going on. Typically, we'll always have somebody in queue right there, you know, ordering meats, but we won't always have a line. Now, it does happen on the weekends when we do get like just crushed, but typically speaking, you might wait 5 or 10 minutes at the most.
That's not bad at all, at all. And there's that kind of entrance area too that people like it's so
A little foyer.
you're
They
not
keep
getting
protected from the rain. Yeah.
or the sun. It's like you're
Exactly.
perfect.
Yeah, it gets a little warm.
I didn't realize how Texas how like it gets hot in Los Angeles and we get up there, but it's a different kind of heat in
It's
Texas.
a different, right? Yeah.
The sun shines brighter in Texas.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, if there's a magnifying glass or something over the top
There
of us.
is. Well, because Texas is his own country, so maybe the sun wants to hit
Right.
it
It
just
does
right.
shine brighter and longer.
And longer too. And yeah, and more humid. But thank you so much for taking the time. I've wanted to talk to you
Oh,
for a
for sure.
while, and I've heard like and it just feels like you guys are I think it's like for some people it's like a little like you're a secret even though a lot of people know about you and you guys and you sell like it's you do really well, but it just seems like I wanted to spread the word about Slow Bone because every barbecue chef that I talk to says you got to go to Slow Bone, you got to go to Slow Bone.
Well, thanks.
Definitely. Thank you guys for doing the right thing. And
That sounds good, man. Look forward to it.
excellent. Have a great week. Thanks,
You
Sujan.
too, buddy.
If you're liking these, please subscribe. I know that on a lot of the different podcast networks, you only get about 20 of these if you don't subscribe. So please subscribe. That way you can hear all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints with YouTube versions of these, plus a bunch of other YouTube content, barbecue tours, butcher shop tours, lots of cool stuff. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with a lot more content as well. But enjoy this.